Okay, we are back with part two of our conversation with Sam, the owner, host, entrepreneur behind The Woods Maine, both a luxury treehouse as well as a brick and mortar store and lifestyle brand. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, it's not a prerequisite, but I do think there's a lot of good information there that will help you get to know Sam and understand the perspective that she's bringing to the podcast. But if you want to start here, that's totally up to you as well. As always, thanks for joining us.
See, Rob and my background is operations and thinking about that. And so like when we talk about, you know, building the business and stuff like that, we know how to build a business to scale. It's what I used to do. I used to teach businesses to build, you know, grow their business.
Right.
And both small and large corporations. And so I think that that's how I look at it all is like, what are the ugly pieces that no one ever talks about? The insurance. That's the other thing. I would love to hear from other cabin owners, especially treehouse owners. How the hell do you guys insure your stuff? Do you go all through Airbnb? Because we do private insurance and holy shit, it's unbelievable.
I do private insurance and Airbnb, but I'm not a treehouse. So I don't know what's different about treehouses.
Oh my God.
Martin and Cam, have you talked to them of Fort Treehouse? No. They're up in Canada, but they're growing. They have one treehouse and he builds all of them. He went to school.
I'm telling you, someone started an insurance company dedicated to lowering the rates of these cabins and these, I'm putting this out there,
entrepreneurs who love
insurance, unique build insurance that doesn't break our bank just because we built it in the trees.
Right.
Like, yes, obviously there are some reasons why it could be a little bit more, but some of it is like astronomically crazy. Like the other thing I don't get is how do people do hot tubs? And like, we don't have a hot tub. We have the lake, but we don't, I want to provide kayaks and everything, but I'm also like, I don't want the liability of it. And I feel I'm one of the very few people.
I'm going to get anxious if I start thinking about this because we have a lake house with kayaks. We have three kayaks that we let people use. We have a hot tub at two of our rentals.
Right. But no, but I'm saying to myself, like, but this is what I say. We've chosen, opted not to do it. And people wonder why we don't have it. And part of it is like, I'm not betting my whole life on you and you being an intelligent, responsible human. And that's cool. Accidents happen. But I like, these are the conversations too. I feel like, you know,
one of the unsexy parts.
I feel like the unsexy stuff is the stuff that I focus on.
Yeah, but so many of us, myself included, don't. It's brought to my attention after the fact. And I'm like, oh, should I stop doing that? And then I'm like, but it's so fun to do that. Like, people like kayaking.
I totally agree with you. And like, there's the me side that is like, yes, I want to offer this amenity. And then there's the me side that is like, yeah.
Is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
Does the benefit outweigh the risk of
And the thing is, you are literally like one of the, there's like maybe a couple people that I've talked to that have properties and this, but this is why I was so fascinated too. Is like, I'm like, how do other people do it? Cause I've always done it the way that I've done it, but I don't talk to anybody about it. This is the first time I've ever like really talked about
it. That's so funny. Cause that's how I felt. My first cabin I bought in 2016 maybe. And it was pre the internet, like the Instagram growth of cabins. It was pre COVID when they really blew up. And then when I discovered when the Instagram world started growing and with Cozy Rock, I started documenting the build and built this community of other people. It was the first time in my life I had friends who I could text with questions like this. What do you do about this? How do you cover liability here? Like,
I want to know, like, I would love to be like, hey, treehouse people, do you ever literally stay up at night when the weather gets to negative 15 degrees and worry about your pipes because of the air that's going underneath the treehouse? Because I sit there at night and listen to the wind. And Rob was like, can you please stop looking at the temperature? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, I just want everything to be okay.
I just want it to be okay. So you should start an Instagram chat, like a group chat with like Lauren and Cam from Fort Treehouse. Who else do I know with treehouses? You two are the two treehouses that off the top of my head I know about. But you could find a handful of them and just start an Instagram group chat and be like, listen, if you don't want to be in this, feel free to go.
I know, but like this is like the other night or whatever, we had guests in here and I know that the trees bang and I'm literally like, am I going to get an email or a note in the morning that they were unhappy because the trees were banging? And like, Rob's like, I can't believe you lose sleep over this stuff. I'm Like,
I mean, that seems like a given. Every time the temperatures drop in Maine, I get worried about our hot tub and the little pipes on the outside that can freeze easily. I get so anxious until it warms up again. And then our camp further up north, in Dover Foxcroft, we have a generator, but we still will watch the temps on the heat pump on our phone to make sure they're keeping up. Cause we're like, if they stop keeping up, then we're screwed. The pipes
can freeze. I just want everybody's stay to be absolutely flawless every single time.
Me too.
And so I'm way better than I used to be because I give it up to the universe now a little bit more than I used to be.
Yeah.
But like, and I, the other thing I do, which I think is very helpful, is I really try to travel and experience other properties that are our caliber to give my, again, life is all about perspective, to give myself some perspective and be like, you know, we're doing okay. Because I think as cabin owners, it's really easy to be very hard on yourself if something goes wrong. We had a customer that was twisting one of the handles, and a little gasket on the inside of the thing had broke, and the whole handle came off, and water was like coming out into like the bunk room.
Oh my God.
And I'm literally like, it's okay. Da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh my God. And thank God the plumber showed up like in a minute and was like able to kind of tape it off and get a new gasket or whatever it is. But like, we're so hard on ourselves when something goes wrong and we forget like, this is human stuff. Like
things
stuff
happen.
Goes wrong.
Yeah. And especially when you have high occupancy, because I have gotten way more anxious with this cabin because we have same day flips almost every time.
See, we avoid that. We avoid that.
I know.
I block out dates after someone books if I can.
I did that during COVID for the one in Boone.
I was doing 248 hours during COVID. I do it because that's part of my balance and my mental well-being.
Yeah. I can see why.
So we say like we're 100% occupancy or whatever it is to our occupancy.
Right.
That's the thing is that it's interesting because I noticed that like, and plus Rob has actually stepped in because we've had so much stuff with like all the different business lines. So Rob has really like gotten pretty handy around here, which is, didn't see it. I didn't know he had it in him. Don't tell him I said that.
But what a value add.
I'm like, he won't make it to this part in the podcast. I could talk some shit.
Sean doesn't listen at all. So I can talk shit about him whenever I want.
Perfect. No, but yeah, like, I think like that's something too, you know, that to look at is that like with that comes along that anxiety of like, you want
it. I know.
Like the same day turnover, like something goes wrong or whatever it is. It's like,
I know.
I found that people are really, there. A majority of people are really understanding. You might get a handful of people that give you the hard time. And right. Those are the ones we focus on. And I don't know.
I know. It's hard not to. We have one 4-star review and I obsessed about that review for like 2 weeks. I swear. And it's just, you got to let go. First of all, it's a 4-star review. Not the end of the world. What are we doing? But other Airbnb hosts understand. You get that. And you're like, I wanted it to be perfect. And it clearly wasn't perfect. But what I've learned with the same day flips is like, knock on wood, we haven't had many things go wrong, but we have a system in place where if something does and anything is not perfect for them, then it's like, get a gift card for Goodfire, have it waiting for them so they can go out to dinner and treat themselves on us. Like something that helps to make, like enhances their experience in a different way to make up for that.
We used to say at HubSpot, and I say this to myself and everything, whether solve for your customer, solve for the company, solve for yourself. If you do those things, everything works.
And I like that.
And at a company, the accounting department, the sales team might be their customers. So if everybody has that mindset, no matter what department you're in, it may not necessarily be the end of B2C customer. It might be your internal counterparts or whatever it is, but solve for the company, solve for the customer, solve for the company, solve for yourself. Yes, when stuff goes wrong, you try to make good as best as possible in making that experience better or, you know, whatever it might be. And
sometimes I feel like sometimes that actually makes the experience better because I used to run a startup and our investors out in California at the accelerator is that used to always call it opportunities to delight. So in the early stages of a startup, people will be upset a lot. You're going to make mistakes. So, like, technology will break. And when that happens, what it forces you to do is make contact with a customer or a user that you might never have interfaced with. 100%. And I feel the same way with guests.
They end up becoming a promoter for you.
That's right. Or a friend sometimes. That's right. And the same thing with guests. If something doesn't go right, plenty of guests check in, check out, you never hear from them. And that makes our lives easier, but you have no relationship with them. But the ones where things have gone wrong, you talk to them on the phone, you message them a lot. And then you have this opportunity to delight them with that interaction and customer service that they wouldn't have had otherwise. And I like that mindset shift.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, my next one. I'm really excited about this one.
Oh boy.
So listen, I'm a big Bachelor fan. And I couldn't help but notice that Ashley and Jared stayed at your treehouse. And I would just like to know how you made that happen and how someone like myself, and I do have to disclose that I have some connections in the Bachelor world. I went to Honduras with Ben Higgins, who was good friends with Ashley, and Leslie.
He has his almost famous podcast, correct?
With her. That's right. And I was telling their story via films. That's why I was there. And so I have some connections with these folks, but I've never asked them or pitched a stay. How did this happen with Ashley and Jared? Tell me everything about it.
So, backing up. So actually at some point, I can't even remember. I don't know. All the years blend in together. At one point, I had gotten this message from a woman named Jackie Bruno. She's an Emmy Award-winning journalist out of Boston. Apparently, she had been following our brand for a while. And she was like, hey, if you ever need help telling my story, I'm starting this new company called Newsmaker Marketing. Bah, 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 bah. And I was like, sure, call me. Here's my cell. And I remember talking to her at the shop. And she and I just hit it off. And I feel like for several reasons, she and I were meant to cross paths. But she had a lot of different connections. And fast forward, she knows Jared. And so she was telling Jared and Ashley about the property. And so we invited them up. And so we had invited them up to the property. And then
Or they were just visiting? This is
for
a stay.
For a come and stay. Yeah. Okay. For a stay. So they were coming up with Dawson. And I don't think that they knew quite what they were getting into up here. But they had come up, and part of their stay, I mentioned it to a friend of mine. I'm sure you know the amazing photo Kate on Instagram.
Yes, she's coming in a couple of weeks.
She's
to Cozy
amazing.
Rock. I can't
she's
wait.
She's amazing. Yeah. I love her. So Kate actually is a Norway-based photographer. She has a little studio right here on Main Street.
I didn't know she was based out of Norway.
Norway is the Kate is the consummate professional. But fun fact, if she ever gets to this point in this podcast, I think she'd be embarrassed for me to tell you this. So I had mentioned to her at some event here in Norway that we were attending that we were having them come up, and it was kind of like on the hush hush type of thing. And I said that to her intentionally because I was like, how cool would it be if you did like a mini shoot with them? And she goes, oh my God, I'll do it. I'll do it. She goes, I am such a Bachelor fan. And I have never seen this woman who has always keeps her shit together, consummate professional, just lose her mind. And so she was like, I'll do it.
Just makes me like her even more.
So we messaged Jared and Ashley and was like, would you guys like to do a family photo shoot during your stay, you know, with us? And they said, absolutely. So what I told Kate, I think she like almost passed out. And the day that she came up, she was so nervous. I had to like give her a beer. I was like, calm down. Like, this is going to be fine. But Jared and Ashley came up, and they are just like the nicest humans ever.
Yeah.
And probably shouldn't be saying this for insurance reasons. We let Jared and Rob take the ATVs down the property and like have the real experience, and Rob had to tow them out of a ditch or whatever it was.
That is the real experience.
Yeah, this is a real main experience. But we had them up there and do the shoot and you know, and experience it. And that was really fun because I am a Batch fan. But just connecting with them, just like as humans, there was just certain conversations that we had that were on a deeper level at moments during their stay. We let the kids play in the backyard and stuff. Where I truly felt this, like for me, this is what was amazing is that I feel like they weren't meant to come up here for us. I feel like they were meant to come up here maybe for them. But what came out of it is we started going down this route of mediumship and how we work with mediums and past life regressions and all this other crazy shit. But we were talking to Ashley about it. And I was telling her about this woman, Sandy, who is the most amazing woman. And spiritual guide that I've worked with. And so we connected Sandy with Ashley for Ashley's podcast, because Ashley had done some podcast on mediums and whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they ended up, one of their employees at Audrey's, Jared owns a
yeah. It's like cafe, their cafe in yeah.
Rhode Island.
Oh, Audrey's. Sam, I follow it on Instagram, obviously.
So I guess one of their employees had lost his mom. And so Ashley ended up connecting him with Sandy to help him with his journey.
Yeah.
And I say to myself, were they meant to come to this treehouse to right. put some pictures on Instagram or whatever it is? Or because of the ripple effect, this gentleman that I've never met in my life before was able to do some healing on some loss he experienced.
Yeah.
Because of these connections.
Which is so interesting, because you mentioned that your space you think creates healing for folks yes. being there, but this guy wasn't even there.
No, like this that's is the ripple even, effect. This is what yeah. I'm saying. Like, this is the far reaching effects of stuff like that. Then fast forward as a Bachelor fan, I don't know if I put it on my story because I was like, holy shit, was we were on Bachelor, like, so the photographs that were taken by Kate were featured on Bachelor Nation this week. On
this week?
Yes, on their Facebook page.
I didn't see that. I saw lots of them after the stay. Like, wasn't it even in People magazine or something?
I felt
like it was everywhere.
Oh, it was on like, and Jared's always like in our hoodie and stuff. And it looks good on
yes. him. Yes, it does look good on him. He's a great model for the.
Actually, they don't know it's coming to them. But so we have our three pines on the front and our little loon on the back of our signature forest green hoodie. And we just rolled it out in crew necks. We're going to do tank tops. We just did it in baby hoodies, but we're going to do baby onesies. And so they just announced their new baby boy. But what they don't know is I'm going to put a little package together for the whole aww. Family to match. And I'm just going to ship it to them because I know.
I love that so much. You know. Yeah.
But yes. Yeah, so the other day I'm like going through my Facebook feed and Bachelor Nation shows up with a picture of them standing in front of the treehouse with, and I'm like, oh my God, made it to Bachelor Nation.
I know. So I need to figure out how I get a bachelor couple to come stay at Cozy Rock. That I had never even considered that as a goal until I saw
that. We need to unite. This is what it is. What we need to do is we need to unite and have Bachelor come up to Maine and we can be the fantasy suites.
Oh my God.
Right?
Oh my God. I love this idea.
We need to find a third. We need to find a third for the trifecta. And it needs to be the Woods, Cozy Rock, and as
the main A-frame
suites.
Would be good. Who else is Camp Tall Pines? I love, but they're for more than
main A-frame would be a really cool one because then it goes to Freeport, Bethel, and Norway.
And Norway. Oh my God!
So now that we have two out of the three, we need to figure it out, and then we can start pitching. Can you imagine?
I want
one night you're like sitting there, you're like drinking wine, eating popcorn, you're like, oh my God, they're going to Cozy.
I cannot even imagine. But I also, the first thing I thought was like, if there was any place that I would want to spend a fantasy suite, it would be in a cabin. And they've never done that before. So it's just like, and I like, just think they would truly
the
make the best fantasy.
Elevated, cozy, elevated, A-frame.
Yeah,
elevated.
And budget friendly. Like, you don't have to fly them to some crazy place. Like,
no,
bring them to Maine. Baby. Let's show them the way life should be.
Day trip down in Portland.
Yes.
God, then
so much. Go out on the water on like a sailboat.
Totally.
There's so much they could do.
Jet skiing.
A cocktail hour cruise. Oh my gosh. I love this idea. Okay. I'm going to put this in our notes. That was,
So what we did in the world of manifesting, what we did was we set the intention. And now what we need to do is put a time frame so that the universe knows that ideally. So I would say like in the next 12 months, they should come to Maine and do Bachelor Fantasy Suites in our cabins.
Yes.
Universe
okay.
deliver.
We could even pitch this for the Golden Bachelorette. And like depending, I mean, ours doesn't have, it does have the loft stairs. But the first floor is fully accessible. Though
some
I will say the
women
people
are
the Golden,
in way better shape and men than I will ever be in my entire life. So they could probably carry me on their back up the stairs. So I'm not even.
It's so true. I said that. And then I was like, wait, I watched the last season and I watched those women on a pickleball court. Like, I'm not
holy
worried about
crap.
Them.
They kicked my ass on that pickleball.
I know. Yeah. Okay. So this brings up another question I had. I remember when I first started designing Cozy Rock and I was working with an interior designer because I'm not great at that stuff. And the first mood board she put together was very Maine inspired. And she wasn't wrong, but it was like buoys and red colors and like red and blue and like nautical Maine. And I had a gut reaction to it. That wasn't bad. It was just like, no, this isn't it. And I tried to explain to her, I feel like there are two sides to Maine. There's this nautical ocean side, and then there's this woodsy, rustic side. Yes. And you, yeah. And you said, okay, I'm giving myself away here. I used AI to help on these questions for the first time ever, because I was like, I wonder if they can find things I didn't. And it says, the woods Maine is described as a celebration of the rustic, woodsy side of Maine. And they pulled that from your website. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, that's it. That's what I was trying to explain to her of what she missed. Did you think about that? And with your brand, you say, wait, one of your things says sea to something.
From the seas to the trees.
Yes, the seas to the trees, which celebrates both sides. Do you have a preference for one?
That was the seas to the trees. It was probably like recent as of like 2 years ago for us, where we wanted to bridge the gap between coastline and us, just to be, to really say that like the Maine woods does extend from one side to the other. It was just kind of like that type of thing. Yeah. So what was your question? I apologize.
Oh, like which one speaks more to you? And because your brand, I think, has to kind of navigate both of them because it's a Maine brand. But for you, when building the cabin, like which of those two Maines speaks more strongly to you?
So that's a tough one. So this is really funny. I don't think people are going to still be on this thing at this point. Maybe. So maybe I won't be as embarrassed as I feel like I'm going to be. I own a company called The Woods Maine. I don't camp.
I did not see that coming.
I like, this is my idea of roughing it. Okay.
It's not bad.
So, but here's the thing. When we decided to build this, we were very intentional in how we designed it too, is that I know how I like to travel. I know what the kind of accommodations I want. And I feel like that's the market that we speak to, is that people want to feel like they're outdoors and in that space, but they have the comforts that they want, which is me. Yes. And that's how I designed it, for something that I would want if I stayed somewhere.
Because you're not alone.
And I don't feel like those accommodations existed off coastline. Yes. In terms of the design, we wanted to pay respect to where it was being built in an area that wasn't touched in thousands of years, right?
Yeah.
So with the decor and how we wanted to strike the balance of being in the woods without it feeling like you're actually in a cabin. But we also wanted to remind people that you are a 4-minute, 5-minute hike down our property to the lake. So we've got my dad's fish prints in here and some of my mom's artwork, but that's really where the blues and the navies come in to remind you of that water and the aquatic feel. We did whitewash walls intentionally because we didn't want it to feel like you were in a ski house in Bethel. Yeah. And so from an aesthetic standpoint, I was very, very particular in the choice of colors, in how we designed it, so that you felt like you were in a cabin in the woods, but you also felt like you were in a lake house.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like Lake Maine is also, that was the Maine that I grew up falling in love with. Coastal Maine, my uncle always lived in Freeport, but we just stopped in Freeport for like a day and then would drive up to Sebec Lake, and we would spend weeks just on the lake.
I love the ocean. Like, I'm an ocean person.
Which is so different from the lakes of Maine.
Yes, I am an ocean person, but I saw such opportunity to celebrate the rest of Maine because I had never experienced the lakes. I had never experienced the mountains. I had never experienced being in the woods. And so, because that wasn't inherently something that I enjoyed doing hadn't had the opportunity to pursue. Mm-hmm. And so when we bought our house up here, it was so transformative to my life that I wanted to honor that. And I wanted people to be able to, in their 2-day stay or their week stay or whatever it is, be able to get a piece of that transformation.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that was interesting. Like, we aren't lobsters and lighthouses and we're not even like really moose. As everybody goes, you're the woods, but you don't have any moose in your shop. I'm like, got some jellycat moose, but we don't have like that illustration and everything like that. And I think that for us, you know, we really highlight the loon a lot. And I feel like the loon is like the most underrated, but quintessential main thing. Like that time you hear the loon in the summer, you're like, summer's freaking almost here.
Yep.
Ice is out. Here we go. You crack the window, even if it's 45 degrees, and you listen to the loons.
That's the sound. That's the sound that you fall asleep to when you're staying near a lake. Like that is my husband and I.
I'm like, what's the sound? It's the seagull on the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas for me, it's the loon. Beach pigeon.
Yes. I've heard that before. I love that. My husband is from Minnesota and he will not let me have the loon. Every time I talk about the loon being my main animal. Like that is the animal that makes me think of Maine.
It's funny. That's why I always say, I think our loon stuff would do really well in Minnesota.
I know. He's like, you're wrong. He said, there's like three loons here. He said, go to Minnesota. It's our state bird. And I was like, okay, we don't need to fight about this.
The other day.
I know. We can both love loons.
I was like, should I do paid ads to Minnesota?
Yeah. I mean,
actually we do ship to quite a bit of loon stuff to Minnesota.
Because I feel like this is what I learned from Sean. I was nervous to introduce him to Maine like 2 months after dating because I was like, if you don't love it here, I don't know if this is going to work. And he loved it immediately. And I think it's because there's so many similarities between Minnesota and Maine in terms of weather and environment and animals. Me neither. Until we share these experiences. And he goes, yeah, I mean, that's great in Maine, but it's also like that in Minnesota. And I'm like, oh, I'd never been to Minnesota before I met him. So I didn't know.
Fascinating. I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. I think it's interesting that you come from the nautical background. That's what you like more because you're not super outdoorsy in terms of camping, but you've built what looks, I think what I loved about your place initially was that it had the woodsy feel that I was hoping for Cozy Rock, not the nautical feel that I was trying to avoid. Not that there's anything wrong with lobsters or lighthouses.
No, there's nothing wrong with it, but I feel like you need to, like, there is such an, I mean, 80% of Maine is like forest.
Right.
And everybody only talks about the coastline.
I know. Now, we do have more coastline than any other state in the country, which I think is insane, including California. Our measured coastline
insane. Is more than that.
Insane. But you would never know.
Our forest and everything and the mountains and the lakes are just, I feel like, an underrated, under-celebrated by a majority of people, maybe not here in Maine. And I'm not saying we need to explore that or whatever. And I think that's something super important. If you're going to talk to your cabin crowd, you have to respect the community you're coming into too. I said to Anchor, I don't want this community to come in and think that I'm an out of stater coming in and doing this, that, and the other thing and taking over the town. Like that was never me. I wanted to come in and I wanted to sit back and observe and listen and understand what's important and culturally how the town operates and communicates and integrate myself into it, not change it. I was never looking to change anything. I'm only looking to enhance. And I think that's important too when you think about where you're going to have set up shop for your cabin is like pay respects to the community and the people that are that community.
That's right. And I will say I've loved Maine my whole life, but my love for Maine changed when I bought land in Maine, even as an out-of-stater. And I know that can be seen like there are lots of ways and a lot of Mainers are very protective of out-of-staters. But the minute I bought land in Maine, it was like, this is part of me. It had always been part of my life experiences, but the level of investment of like, I'm reading everything I can. I'm getting to know everyone that I can. Like, this is part of me now. And there's something beautiful about that too, I think.
What's funny is there was two things I said to Rob like years ago when we were first married. And I was like, Rob, I just know I was meant to like, so I used to run fantasy football leagues and for many, many years. And I never thought it would come back to serve me until I started running a retail store when I realized like now my products are my lineup and now I can look at like where I'm going to put them in. And it was like, it was unbelievable training for running a retail store. That's my retail experience running fantasy football teams, doing research on players and products and margins and all of that stuff. And that's how I utilize that. But the other thing I used to feel in my soul that I always said is like, I was always, and he used to give me a hard time about this. He's like, you're not meant to do fantasy football for a living. And I'm like, I know, but like, I feel like I am. but it really wasn't fantasy football. It was a different application. The same thing with, I used to tell him, I think I'm meant to be on vacation in my life. And he's like, yeah, you and everyone else is meant to be on vacation in my life. And it wasn't until about 6 years ago where it clicked. I wasn't meant to be on vacation in my life. I was meant to live in vacation land.
Yes. Yes. Although so, I will.
But it was interesting that like, you know, like I didn't know it at the time, but like I felt this, like I kept hearing vacation. You need to be in vacation. You need to be in vacation. Yeah. Rob was like, you and every other stressed out corporate America person needs to be on vacation. And I'm like, no, dude, it goes deeper than that. And it really was that I was meant to be in vacation land.
Yes, you were. Oh my gosh. I love that. I do think vacation land is a good motto for Maine, but I do much prefer the way life should be. Cause sometimes I feel like, although the way you just described it won me over, cause sometimes I feel like, oh, you're selling the state as a place to come and visit and then leave. And I'm like, no, no, the way life should be, this is like where you want to go. But you just described it as like, oh, you can live here and feel like you're on vacation all the time.
So that's exactly. So like when we, during COVID, we renovated the house that we now live in. On the property. And I said to Rob, I wanted to feel like when we go on, like elements of it, like when we go on vacation, because if I'm going to be working 7 days a week, when I come home at the end of the day, I want it to be like, I cannot.
Your vacation. Yeah.
I don't really quite do that, but I do my best.
That's the dream.
But that's the thing is that like, but that's why we moved up here though. And that's why we're doing what we're doing is because life is so short. I wanted to craft a life that I could be proud of, that I could, that I could integrate Andy into, that she could be part of the plan and be part of our life and what we're building and how we're building it. It's so important to me that we architect it intentionally, and it's not easy to do, and it's terrifying. And the finances of it are ugly at times, but I also have been blessed, but I've also worked really hard to put myself in the position to take that jump and to take that risk. It doesn't just happen, or events that are unfortunate lead to the fortune.
Right. And it's what do they teach us?
It's what you do with it. Yeah. That makes the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. You're such a good example of that. Okay, one of the things I found in my research that goes back to the experiences that you're creating is that you offer personalized vacation itineraries.
So I do not, but I have partnered with Vanessa Santarelli, who owns Your Maine Concierge. She is actually a producer and co-host of the show Maine Life. So Vanessa,
which you all were on.
Yes. So, and we've hosted segments for Maine Life and things like that in the past and worked with Erin on Special Spaces and Maine Food Story. But she, we met on Instagram years ago when we first launched the Treehouse, and she was pivotal in us building that into the experience for guests as opposed to an add-on. But that is an added benefit that we do add to the guests, that they can have like a 15-minute call with Vanessa. She can help plan. I customize itineraries based on interests during their stay. And that's not at the cost of the guest expense. We pick up that cost as part of our stay. And I think that that's things that people do miss with what our rates are and where we are. That is something that we build into it. It's all part of that. But she has arranged at additional cost to the guest. She has arranged for private chefs to do. Like when we first built the kitchen, we consulted with a chef that was coming in to do a private meal for our opening for our very first guest that it was friends of ours. And we consulted with him on the oven and everything because we wanted the ability to have chefs come in and do that, or massage therapists or whatever it is. Yeah. So that is an amenity that we do offer.
Okay. I love that. Because when I think about something we talk about on the podcast a lot, is just the business model of an Airbnb and this idea. And I got this from Anna Mae Tonkin, who's a photographer, and she describes it as the unicorn, the workhorse, and the donkey. And none of them are better than the others, but you have to know which one you're trying to be in order to create that experience. And we tried to be a unicorn from day one. That was like by design. We want this to be a special, unique experience. And so what you're describing, I think, are the kinds of things that take a place from just your average Airbnb to someplace that is truly a vacation experience. And that will cost more and there will be more investment. But as the owner, that doesn't necessarily mean I make more money off of it because I'm spending a lot of the cost on those things.
You don't. Everybody, every guest, like we personalize your experience. So when you book with us, you're going to get an email from me and I'm going to go, hey, thanks for booking with us. I got some questions for you. One, where are you coming from? Because I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Two, are you celebrating anything special? Three, are you traveling with children? Do you need a pack and play? If so, do you need whatever it is? Because we'll have it in here if you need it. Do you want touchless or would you like us to come up and welcome you personally? The other thing that we ask is, do you want red wine, white wine, rosé? And then the last thing we ask is, do you want gluten-free, vegan, or regular pancake mix? And then we adjust whatever the ingredients are in the refrigerator to whatever the pancake mix requires.
Okay.
The preference sheet. And so before every guest check-in, we prepare that. And we have those items up here, including like the chocolate, the local chocolate from Ragged Coast. We've got Time and Tide coffee that we bring in. And so we build that out into there so that we can tailor to what guests' needs are.
Yep. And this, my friends, is what a unicorn looks like. And it's not that you make necessarily more money because the amount of time that you're spending on those emails, getting those ingredients, personalizing everything that you do.
We drive up on the ATV and welcome guests when they arrive. Yep.
That all costs money, but it makes that experience a true unicorn experience versus a workhorse.
Exactly. And when we were building the treehouse, I was talking to a sales, a vice president of sales when I was working at HubSpot. We were at a sales dinner. And I was telling him about this thing and he's like, you're out of your mind, blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, if you're going to do this, you can't fall in the middle. You have to commit to being the best at one end or the best at the other.
That's right.
And so when I'll use the rails outside as an example in the treehouse, Pete had put in these wire rails or something like that to bring the cost estimate down because putting the actual tree branches as all the rails required hand carpentry on every rail to like cut it down, fit it in perfectly, the whole thing.
Yep.
And I said, and the whole cost, because every time I stepped on this property, I felt like everything went up like 10 grand every day. I was like, I'm not stepping
on. I know that feeling.
But when we did it, we were like, there's going to be a million of these that pop up. We are going to probably invest in the most insane amount of money ever that someone would invest in a single treehouse.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it because we're not going to fall in the middle and we're going to commit to the higher end of things. Mm-hmm. And some people can recognize it when they come in. Some people don't, whatever it is. You're getting a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom, full chef's kitchen, screen and porch. You pay $500 to $700 a night, let's say for a room at the Ritz. You're getting a room. Yep. Now, granted, you are getting, you know, access to the restaurants or location or whatever it is. But here you're getting a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom. You're getting a full chef's kitchen. Like it's a home. It's a fully functional home in the tree.
Right.
Dishwasher.
Right. Right.
We're 30 feet up in the air. It's fully functional. That's really, really a lot to keep up. People don't, why are your rates not lower in the winter? Well, because Rob is out there in his plowing and sanding. And we're digging, we're every snowstorm we have, you'll see us out here while you're sitting
in more work in the winter.
And we're shoveling the front stairs for you.
Yep.
Like, not because we have to, but this is the experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what people seem to miss.
They do. And I'm glad for one that you didn't compromise on the railing because to be totally honest with you, if I'm scrolling Instagram and yours pops up, that's immediately how I know it's yours.
Well, I said, I'm not giving up the railing. I don't care if I have to sell my first child. Sorry, Andy, I love you. But I was like, I will forever look at every photograph and that will be the one thing that stands out to me. I don't care how gorgeous the rest of it is, but yeah. I compromise on this one thing. I'm not compromising on it.
Yes. Yes. I'm looking at pictures on Instagram right now. And I really do think that's it. Because your place is very notable, but I do think those railings were one of the first things that I ever noticed about it.
And we have a really cool on our website. We have little like snippets of during the build. And one of the snippets was the railing day. And it was just amazing to capture that and them shaving them by hand. And
yeah. The other thing is in your living room, the tile that then turns into
the one floor. I can walk you over and show you. It is awesome. Please do.
I showed that to my builder and I was like, this is what I want going from the bathroom to the main room. And he goes, absolutely not. That's going to be way too expensive for you. And I was like,
okay. So part of it was that I wanted everything. I wanted somebody to be able to photograph everything in the space, even the floors. But the idea is we had small space, but I wanted to capture a mudroom feel with a really cool transition. And so that was my take on the transition.
Yeah, I really like that. And I definitely tried to do that in ours, but he was like, that's going to cost too much money. And you know how it goes. There's compromises everywhere. And that was one that wasn't willing to put my foot down on. So I was like, all right, I will give that one up in favor of some of the other ones. I think this is okay. I do have one question only because we do ask this one a lot, but just this week, there's been a reel from another cabin owners that got a little bit heated in the comments. I didn't get heated, but I definitely offered my perspective because I feel strongly about this one, but it was a reel about damage done by a pet. And it was saying that they were rethinking their pet policy because of the damage that was done. You all have a no pet policy. Can you talk me through the thinking behind that and like what led you to that place? Because I know a lot of folks listening are on the fence and I am firm pro pet. So I want there to be like a balance to that.
So even Sprocket, our dog, she's been in here a couple times only because we lost power and had to stay in here one night. Yeah. We have a very strict no pet policy. Part of that is the sheer investment in the treehouse is been so great that from an internal standpoint, I love that your fairy pet is adorable, tiny, well-behaved, housebroken. I love the pictures that you send me pleading. I love you all. I feel terrible saying this, but they can't come.
Yeah.
A couple reasons for that. One, we have wildlife on the property.
Yeah.
We are also off a very busy road when you come down our road. If someone's lovable furry friend somehow was to take off after several of the deer that my guests will see in the morning and not come home or get lost, I would never forgive myself. And so for me, it's really about protecting your pet more than it is about protecting my property. Yes, my property is a very big priority, but there are fox out here. There are porcupine. There are definitely deer, and the dogs love to chase deer.
Yeah.
If your dog can or can't swim, I don't want to have to know that. I have my dog here. And so there's other things. And so for me, it's really about your pet being protected. We have ticks out here. Like everything, your dog goes out there, you don't check it for a tick, it ends up with Lyme or something like that. Like,
or it gives it to you, like worse, it ends up on you. I
understand you want to take that risk because you want to bring your pet with you. To me, I'm like, it ain't worth your risk.
You know the land better than they do.
Come and experience it because there are too many opportunities for your furry little friends to get interested in the critters that are running around here.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I didn't realize my first two properties were both pet friendly. And then my third property is co-owned with my sister on the lake that I grew up going to. And she's allergic. So we've made it no pets. And I didn't realize how many people try and get around it. The amount of messages we get saying, hey, my dog is really well behaved. My dog is hypoallergenic, et cetera. I have just been really surprised by the amount of folks who are like, oh, no pets, but like, surely my pet is okay, right?
Which I feel like a jerk, even with our friends. Like when we have 4th of July weekend, our friends board their dog because they know we have a no pet policy basically on the property because there are so many opportunities for these guys that aren't, because a lot of them are coming from the city or whatever it is. They have no experience with the wildlife.
Right.
It takes
one
thing when you're taking them out for a walk, even if they're on leash or something like that, you put the leash down. People don't understand the ecosystem that is the woods of Maine.
No.
And so I do it because it's honestly, you're better off for it.
It's best for everyone. This little one, I'm pointing on the wrong side. Just the other day, took off after deer. We have a fenced in yard, but we were coming back from a walk and I dropped her leash and my husband was right there and she took off after 6 deer And I had to like run after her through the woods, the other side of the neighborhood. And I was like, what was I doing? And yeah. It did make me think about Cozy Rock and how many guests, what happens when people's guests see the deer there? We're a little bit more in town, so I'm not as worried
about
big
you'll
predator,
literally but. Be drinking coffee on the screen and porch and deer will be sleeping underneath you.
I love that. So, but that's part of the experience. So you also don't want the deer to not come back to the cabin.
I'm like, this is their territory.
Yeah.
Like, I even get mad when Sprocket goes after the deer, but like, I think at this point she thinks that they're friends.
The deer are like, no ma'am, we're not.
Yeah, exactly. But like, that's the thing is like, I want them to feel like they can come and go. Like, this is their, this is your territory, guys. You want to sit underneath here in the snow or whatever it is. This is you. Like,
this
the
is yours. It was you yours first.
You want to have your den down thing and show your face now and then. That's fine. I'm not going to have, you know, like that's the thing is that like, I want people to experience that too.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last question that I ask everyone, and I'm not quite sure. I have asked a treehouse this before, but what do you think makes a cabin a cabin? And are treehouses by default all cabins, or is that a separate category? What does the overlap look like there?
You know, it's interesting. When people refer to my treehouse as a cabin, my first instinct is this is not a cabin. Mm. I think it depends on, I mean, I think it's a really tough question. Because I don't think that there is any right, wrong, or categorization right. for a cabin. I think a cabin is what you make of it. I don't see our treehouse as a cabin. I could see why you would refer to it, but somebody would refer to it as a cabin. But this is like a home in the trees. Yeah. But I think of a cabin, the word that comes to mind is higgy.
Yeah.
So I think
and you don't like, think that the treehouse has that feel to it?
It does, but I wouldn't, that wouldn't be my first classification.
Okay.
I guess is like, I would refer to it as like a treehouse.
Yeah.
A cabin I feel like is on the ground and has that higgy vibe. A treehouse can be higgy, but in the trees.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that there is a distinction between a cabin and a treehouse. Cabin is in, to me is grounded. Treehouse is just structurally
elevated. It's elevated, if you will.
Comfort elevated, if you will.
Comfort elevated. I love that. Yeah, there's no right or wrong answer. I just like hearing the different perspectives because it is like so everyone has different thoughts on it.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. It's amazing. It's kind of like when people refer to their lake house as camp. Or like something, or like when they're going to camp and they used to refer to our house as camp. And I'm like, no, that's actually a house. It's not, we're not going to camp. We're like going to our residential house.
Yes.
It just happens to be on a lake. So I think it's a matter of who you're talking to, how it's interpreted.
I know. Cause we have a family camp up on Sebec Lake, but our true family camp that's been passed down generations was like tiny. Everyone
like, sleeps
on top
like
of
a
each
camp
other.
Is like camp in the North Woods or like, you know,
rustic.
Not a second home, necessarily.
Yes, if you're not waiting in line for the bathroom to brush your teeth at night or like to take a shit in the morning, then like I don't think it's a camp. But we still call ours that for nostalgic reasons because we want it to be, but we have two bathrooms.
100%. So I think the same thing about cabins.
Yes. Sam, this was so fun. This was like awesome. All of my dreams came true. When you meet someone that you've been like watching and admiring for a while and then they're even more awesome than you thought they would be.
I also think, I feel like there's other areas in which we could potentially collaborate on, including
the Bachelor Fantasy Suites, obviously.
Fantasy Suites.
Okay. We're going to make that happen within the next 12 months. Listen, between the two of us, nobody can stop us. This is definitely going to happen. I feel certain of it.
Two forces to be reckoned with. You just met. Watch out what we do in the next 12 months, friends.
I can't wait. Stay tuned.
Thanks so much for joining us. And if you liked what you heard, feel free to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or share some of your favorite parts over on Apple Podcasts in a review. Or if you happen to be friends with a Bachelor producer, please feel free to put in a good word for us. If you have feedback or suggestions for the future, you can find me on Instagram @CozyRockCabin. Looking forward to next week.